columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
It's time to step in the Fan's film room, analyzing game tape on the 2020 Broncos, just like Alex Gibbs talking about Mark Schlereth.
That guard did not cut, and I promise you, he got chatted with. That fat ass needs to get his feet moving better than that, and I promise you, when he came off that field, I ripped his
Here to break down the film is The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Just a friendly man, D-Mac. Just a very friendly man.
Yeah, he sounds like just such joy. I can't believe people didn't want to be coached by him. It's shocking. McTelvin Ajim, who I just wanted to call McLovin, but I'll call him McTelvin because that's his name.
Rose hitting the backfield, has nowhere to go. Predictable. McTelvin Ajim was able to penetrate. Bowden gets hit, taken down by McTelvin Ajim. It's a loss of 7. Fourth sack of the season for the monster up front.
We haven't said his name yet tonight, but he is a beast.
All right, is he a beast? This is Arkansas against Kentucky in 2019. He is the third of the Broncos' 3 third-round picks, 95th overall. What do you like about him? What don't you like about him?
Yeah, D-Mac, I like McLovin a lot, actually.
I love to call him McLovin. It's fine by me.
I'll call him McLovin the entire segment. So anybody that did not hear, we're talking about McTelvin Ajim, but he is now officially McLovin.
McLovin,
all right?
Yes.
McLovin is got some versatility, which is good. He 2 years ago, he was a full-time defensive end. He made the transition into playing full-time defensive tackle for his final year there in Arkansas. So he's got a little bit of inexperience at both positions because he didn't lock into either one of them, but he's versatile, and I like that. In a 3-4 scheme, that's good because you need to have guys that have got the girth, that have got the body mass to play nose tackle, and when you need them to, when you need to shuffle things around, you can bump them out to play a 4-eye, which is where he's going to mainly be playing for the Broncos. He's just a really stout guy, D-Mac. In the running game is where I like him the most. He almost always has got his offensive guard bubbled back, and that's a great thing. That's what you're asking for out of your defensive lineman. If you can bubble the offensive guard back 1 yard, you did your job, and you're likely to cause a tackle for loss. So those are the parts I love the most. Didn't look really great as a pass rusher, but most guys drafted in a 3-4 scheme to be a defensive end or a defensive tackle are not really pass rushers. That's not what they're known for. They're known as space eaters. They're known as the guys that are going to two-gap it and just go flat down the line of scrimmage, get their hands on both offensive linemen, the guard and the center, and try to prevent them from climbing to the next level. So he doesn't have to be great in the pass rush department, but if I saw weakness, that's what I really saw.
Comparables.
Shelby Harris, I think. Harris is a pretty good guy to compare him to. Shelby ended up with a lot of sacks last year. He had 7 or 8 sacks, but Shelby's really not that's not what his history says. His history says he's usually just kind of a bull rush guy that is going to get his hands in there, try to disrupt with his hands, get some batted balls. And I think that's what McLovin is going to look like as well.
The rotation. I mean, we got Curry, Purcell, and Shelby Harris, I assume, or does he have a shot to run with the ones?
No, I don't think he's running with the ones. I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens with Draymond Jones and with DeMarcus Walker this year. One of those guys might not make the team in general, and you know, neither one of them may contribute. So we'll see what happens with them. I think that he's going to be. Boy, say that's interesting because where do you fit him in? You don't fit him in on first and second down because he's not your starter. You don't fit him in nickel packages because he's not a pass rusher. Boy, he's not going to play a lot this year. He's not going to play a ton. He's going to be just your rotational guy when somebody taps their helmet and they need a sub.
Okay. Compare him to DeMarcus Walker, who's been such a, it feels like a disappointment.
Well, DeMarcus Walker is a much skinnier, less stout guy. He's supposed to be a better pass rusher, and we've seen it out of him. DeMarcus Walker had a couple games.
He's had some moments.
He strung back-to-back sacks together in a couple games last year. But he's not a well-rounded player. See, McLovin, you're going to put him out there, and he's going to be a well-rounded player.
So you think he's better or more versatile?
I think they're different players. Like DeMarcus Walker, I'd put on the field in a nickel situation when I need my best pass rushers out there. McLovin, I'm pulling off the field in that situation.
What about Draymond Jones? Maybe
Draymond Jones is very similar to DeMarcus Walker.
All right, so then Ajim is kind of... He's the hope after Shelby, because let's face it, they weren't really planning on having Shelby back anyway, right? And we kind of
Maybe, you know what, D-Mac, and to that degree, maybe they actually will play him in front of Shelby. Who knows? You know, if that's the guy they wanted, they really weren't going to bring Shelby back. They just fell into it.
Right.
The market collapsed, and they were like, well, I guess why not? Why not bring him back?
Right.
You know, maybe they do value him more than Shelby.
He'll have a shot, at least. You know, although... All right, why do these guys, it seems, take more time than other positional players to develop? Why is that?
I don't think they do. I don't think they should. You know, a pass rusher, you come into the league, and if you've got two or three decent moves, you've got an opportunity to play. Now, you've got to come up with some counters, and you've got to come up, you've got to understand that you're not going to beat guys with the same two or three moves over and over and over in the league like you can in college, because the offensive linemen are too good. But I sort of put, like, a pass rusher in particular and wide receiver and corner all in the same category. Man, if you're an athlete and you're just supersonic, you're better athlete, you're faster, you're bigger, you're stronger than the other people you played up against college, I think that should translate to the next level relatively quick.
Do you, when you watch film on defensive linemen like this through all of your experience dealing with defensive linemen, do you notice things quickly by, oh, yeah, okay, that's how I'd stop this guy. Oh, okay, this is what I'd do against this guy. Does that stuff, like, just leap off the film to you?
Of course. That's just what I've been trained to do my entire career. You know, it's hard for me to watch football on Sundays. It's hard to actually watch the game. I watch the offensive line. I watch the tackles. I watch Garrett Bowles, and I pull my hair out. You know, it's impossible for me to not get that out of me. Absolutely.
So when you look at what maybe just one thing that sort of popped off, like, he's got to change that, or he's got to get rid of that, or get better at that.
Well, if I was playing against Ajim, the first thing I would do is I would jump set him every single time, because you know that he doesn't have much of an arsenal in the pass rush department. And if you can jump set him, you can get on him, you take away that bull rush, which is really what he focuses on the most. Okay, we'll take that away and make him beat you another way. So for Ajim, what he's going to have to do, he's going to have to realize that he's going to get jump set oftentimes in the league. And so when you see that offensive lineman get aggressive, you got to use his weight against them. You got to hit that swipe swim on him, swipe his arms down, swim your arms above his shoulder blades, and let him just face plant type of thing. So he's going to have to find some counters for the guys that are going to be very aggressive on him.
Good stuff. Love it. That's the Fan Film Room. More tomorrow. Peyton Manning, the transition to the Broncos, as told by Peter King. This is some great stuff. It goes back a little bit, but there's some nuggets that you probably haven't heard before. So stick around. You'll hear them next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Tyler, I may have a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, good. Information, too.
Well, I'm looking at our great friend Nikki Javala, who took some quotes from Elijah Wilkinson from our interview the other day, which was cool. It's big money there at left tackle. Remember when Elijah said that, the big money?
Yeah, for sure. That's where the big money is. Now you got to get on the field. And unfortunately, Elijah left me wanting a little bit more out of his confidence level out of left tackle, did he not?
I think that's just who he is. I think his brother and father are a little bit more boisterous naturally than Elijah, but I don't doubt his commitment level nor his competitiveness.
No, of course not. Great kid. Absolutely rooting for him. Just didn't seem super confident.
Well, he knows the odds are still stacked against him, but he'll have a chance. He'll have a chance. But I'm looking at Nikki, and she's tweets out about an hour ago, QB sighting. Drew Lock, who has been throwing with some of his receivers in Colorado. Excuse me one second. It's clearing my throat. Has
I know,
also,
problems of not having the mute button right now. I've been running into that today.
I got a little dial. But has also been training with another guy and others from Landau Performance while adhering to social distancing rules. And there was a Instagram post by Persistence 21, who I think is a coach.
It's Augie. That's
Augie. Good. Oh, I know Augie. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
good friend of mine. Really kind of took over Lauren Landau's facility after Lauren took the job with
my
the Broncos.
Man. I have worked with Augie through my youth baseball organization as well. Augie's
a great guy.
But I see the picture. Drew Lock's sprinting. I know exactly where this is. I know exactly where they're working out.
It's funny you say that. I was actually trying to figure out where that was. That was not a typical place where Landau guys trained. I didn't recognize that
field. No, it is not. It definitely is not.
You know, just the place. You just can't. It's right at the tip of your tongue.
No, you just don't know the name? No, I know it. I'm just wondering if I should say it out loud.
Ooh.
Or
okay, that's fair. That's fair. Don't do it. That's a good point.
All right, how about this? I know the place. 100%.
Okay, don't tell us, like, the street corners. We'll still be able to figure it out.
It's not a public school or a private school. It is actually a public park, meaning it is a...
Okay, enough. Enough. You don't need to tell us exactly where it is. We believe you.
I'm not going to tell you where it is. You think you can figure it out just from that?
Well, probably. I mean, if we're talking about, like, a 10-mile radius of Dove Valley public parks, it wouldn't be that hard.
Is it in 10? Yeah, it probably is within a 10-mile radius of that.
Of course it is.
Yeah, that's cool. I was like, well, where would they do this? And I'm like, oh, okay. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, yep, that makes sense. It's a good spot. It does make me, boy, that gets my radar up a little bit.
As to what? What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I could...
Oh, you could go out there with a little camera, get behind a bush. Yeah, I think you should do that. I really do. I think that would be a good idea. Now, see, I personally, I'd rather just text Augie and he'll tell me where to come and exactly what time. But you go ahead and you try to do the detective work.
That's too easy.
Yeah.
So, all right. So there you go. That's where it's at. And I won't say it on the air. Good luck finding it. But wouldn't that be a trip, though? You're just bumping around and all of a sudden you see a virtual Broncos practice out there. That'd be amazing.
There's still kids at heart, D-Mac, you know?
I know. It was the funniest thing is when Lauren has some of these guys getting ready for the combine and they're working out over at Regis. I'll never forget. I was over there. This is a couple of years ago, and my kid had a baseball game over on the Regis JV field, which is just looks out right on the football field. And these guys working out. Now, instantly, I knew. Oh, I knew who they were, and I could even see the trainers and whatever. But this dad comes up to me and goes, "Oh my God, that is the biggest high school football team I have ever seen in my life." And I looked at him. I go, "I know Regis is going to be really good this year." Okay, Peter King with about John Elway or Peyton Manning rather about Peyton Manning. We heard him say what was interesting is the Seahawks were after him. We heard him. This is great about Pete Carroll. You got to hear this.
And when he visited the Broncos on this trip, the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll flew to the airport right near the Broncos facility, even though Manning said he really didn't want them to do that. And Manning didn't go meet Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll flew to Denver chasing Peyton Manning, and Manning never met with him. He got back on the plane and just flew back to Seattle.
Are you kidding me?
Now, one of the things we heard is that Peyton wanted to set the rules for everything, and he didn't want to feel like, you know, the walls were closing in. And maybe that was just a little bit too much pressure.
Well,
how about that story?
I mean, holy cow. Can you imagine being in a world in which an NFL head coach gets on a private plane, flies out to where you are, he's
you
within 10 miles
them.
Of where you are, and you're like, yeah, nah, I'm good, I'm good.
I won't even meet with them.
I'm not India. I'm just not that India, Pete. I don't know what to tell you. I told you not to come out here. What else did you need me to say?
So obviously the Seahawks wanted Manning, but it wasn't even close in Manning's mind.
No, Manning dialed it down to a handful of teams. And if I remember correctly, you could help me out here probably. It really came down to Houston and Denver. Isn't that right?
Well, Houston made a lot of logical sense, but they didn't come after him.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
That was the big thing with Gary Kubiak and Matt Schaub.
So he probably would have gone to Houston had they wanted him?
It makes the most sense. It makes the most sense. But that's why when Gary came here in Peyton's final year, it was kind of like, wow, well, you didn't want him a couple years ago. We find it ironic. How about this story, though, about Jim Harbaugh when he was with the 49ers? This is great.
The 49ers actually went and basically, Jim Harbaugh, who was the head coach, wanted to see him work out, but he didn't want anybody to know he was there. So Harbaugh and Greg Roman, who was another offensive assistant there, flew to Raleigh-Durham Airport in North Carolina and went to Duke. And they went actually and bought some clothes at the Duke University bookstore and went and got Duke hooded sweatshirts, and they put the hoodies over their heads, and they stood down in the corner of the field and watched Manning work out, because obviously he was coming back from this serious neck injury. That's how they watched Manning work out, you know, basically hidden from everybody. That's how cloak and dagger this whole thing was.
How funny is that?
That's pretty amazing. That's a great story. Wow, so Manning didn't even know he was there?
Well, the khaki pants were probably a giveaway, but
sure?
I guess not. I mean, they
I don't know. Kids at Duke, they dress smart, dude. Smart kids wear khaki pants. I don't know what to say. Daniel Jones definitely wears khaki pants.
That's true. You got me on that one. Yeah, yeah. I know you think it would look a little creepy with just two guys with hoodies drawn up over their heads.
Taking notes out there.
Oh, don't worry about Peyton. It's all good.
I don't know. It is still got the hip swivel. Oh, good arm strength. Yes.
What an amazing. Oh, here's Tennessee. You mentioned Tennessee.
I think Tennessee was interesting to him because, first of all, he really liked Mike Munchak, the head coach at the time. He was a tough meat and potatoes guy, but also, Jessica, what was really interesting about all of these places that you're looking at, especially Arizona, Tennessee, and Denver, they were going to basically allow him to come in and not to do anything he wanted or to do everything he wanted, but they were going to allow him to come in and do a lot of the stuff on offense that he wanted to do.
Yeah, man. Our guy was John Fox. He was like, hey, whatever you want, Peyton. I don't even pay attention to the offense.
I don't even know what offense is.
I have no idea what you guys even do out there.
What do you guys do?
What's happening out here?
What's my coordinator's name?
Which one? I don't know. Hey, sounds great.
You want to take a knee? You don't want to try to win the game? You want to take a knee? Yeah, come on out of here.
Yeah, how about that? Oh, my God.
What game was that again?
That was the Ravens game.
Oh, that was the Ravens game? Like the Ravens game?
Yeah, you forget that the pass. Well, it was the handoffs to Ronnie Hillman. It was just is that what you're talking about?
No, like Raheem Moore, Ravens game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they scored the touchdown with 30 seconds to go, and then we just took a knee. Well, I'm sorry. You're right. We had handed the ball to Ronnie Hillman like three straight times instead of letting Peyton throw the ball to get a first down to end the game. We turned it over to the defense, Raheem Moore. And then, yes, 30 seconds ago, take a knee with Peyton Manning instead of trying to, you know, win.
Just like Peyton Manning to do his deal. They say that Peyton was behind that, though. They say that he supported
it. No way.
You know what? We should ask Big O. I've heard that. Let's ask Big O. I'd honestly be really curious.
Okay.
Big O was on that team, right?
All right. Yeah, he sure was, for sure. That doesn't. I guess he could have waved.
That's
it
just
off,
what
right?
I've heard, D-Mac.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, we got the top six coming up. That's next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.